Well, Jerry and Christy, why don't you guys go ahead and come up now? We are really blessed by the fact, Cindy and I were having this conversation the other day about how many people God's called into our church that are called outside the church, like called to different ministries. There's an unusual amount of people who are called here that go outward, and which is amazing because it's really what's on our heart. This couple is the very same as that. They've been with us for a number of years, and you've heard them speak before if you've been here. They're called to minister in Costa Rica, and early this year saw some stuff that this God really moved in a powerful way. And so I'm going to give them time to share. But if y'all would just give a warm welcome to Jerry and Christy, we love you guys.
We usually do a tag team when we go to churches in Costa Rica, so we're going to give you a little taste of that today. First of all, I think we've already had church, right? Boy, this is just the icing on the cake. I have some special people that are here today. I'd like to introduce you to my daughter, Audrey, right here. My son, Philip. My daughter, Jennifer. My granddaughter, Lauren, and my son-in-love, Jaime, and Ethan is out with the kids. I'm just thankful that they came all the way from San Antonio to see their mommy. They have been very supportive. Jennifer's family takes care of my dog when we're gone. We have a little chihuahua that gets left behind. You know, it's funny. I had this message that God gave me back in January. I thought it was something I was going to teach through an interpreter when I was in Costa Rica. And then God gave me some other messages to teach. But when our team came in February, we went over with a team called PUSH, P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. And they meet every Tuesday night down the valley. And they have healing, miracles, signs and wonders, meetings, and teaching. So we had five of the worship team members, and we had five ministers come from McAllen. And so I got to plan and organize all this and, you know, be the intermediary between about 14 pastors and three different locations. So it was really a stretching experience. But when the team came over, they had a 24-hour delay because they had problems with their airplane. And then it delayed them. They missed their flight in Houston, and they couldn't get them room for all 10 of them to go together because they weren't going to separate. They wanted to split up and have one of the girls go by herself, and they didn't want that to happen. So when they came to us, you know, we showed them the room. It was like what time was it?
3 a.m.
3 a.m. by the time they got in. They were supposed to be in like 2 p.m. Got up the next morning because we had things to do, and I had orientation. And God said, share this message. And I just shared a short one because I could see there's some discouragement in some of the team. I know they didn't understand what was going on. They're rejoicing. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're ready to do ministry and everything. But I could see the drummer was a little bit discouraged, and he kind of was having a hard time. So this is a message I shared. And it's about, I just love to read what Jesus says. I like to read the red letters in the Gospels because God sent him for a reason to give us a message that we needed to have, something we weren't quite getting, something that we couldn't get without him. And in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, he says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And then 1 Corinthians 5:20-21. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The main thing to remember here, you know, when my kids were toddlers, there's a certain age they get to when they're learning to talk. They, you know, say these things and they see we respond and, you know, they just really love that stuff. And so they just keep it up. One of those things is when they're always saying, why? Everything that you say doesn't matter what's going on. Why? Why? And I remember those days. I had six kids, so I got to go through this six times. And I go through it with myself a lot of times, too. You know, there are times when I'm going, why? Why? I don't understand this. I don't understand why this happened in my life. I don't understand. You know, explain to me. Okay, don't explain to me, but why? And, you know, after a while, I saw that the kids weren't really, you know, here I was coming with these carefully planned little explanations and trying to make it real simple so they could understand stuff. But I could kind of tell that they were just liking the attention that they're getting when they said, why? And then all of a sudden, they're the center of attention because I'm going to talk to him for a while. But, you know, as teenagers and adults, we ask these questions, and, you know, I'm a little bit older than a teenager, and I still have my questions, and I still ask, why? And when I was studying in January, you know, I'm going like, okay, now I've got all these grandchildren I want to see all the time whenever I can. My kids want to call me so I can take care of them when they have school days off or pick them up early or they're not feeling good. And I have grandkids that are, you know, just little twins born up in Nevada with my son who's up there in the military. And I have another son in New Hampshire. And, you know, there are things going on with my kids. Why? Why are you asking me? You know, we were looking for a vacation destination. That's all. You know, when we went to Costa Rica the first time. And, but we had encounters. We had encounters with God. We would share with people on a sidewalk, and the Holy Spirit was falling right where we were. And the people we were talking to were not Costa Rican. They were from Wales. They were from Holland. They were from all different countries, people that we've been able to talk to. And we've had God encounters. And when we went home from our first trip, God just, you know, had been speaking to both of us. We didn't know it. But I said, has God been telling you anything unusual about Costa Rica? And he told me, yeah, I think we're supposed to go there to minister. And I go, I think he's telling me the same thing. Well, I was wondering in January again, you know, here I am. We've gone probably 13 times to Costa Rica. This past 12 months, we've gone three times. And I just wondered, you know, why did you call us? Why did you ask us? I mean, who am I? I'm nobody special. I'm just, you know, retired teacher, you know, mother, grandmother, wife. And when I came across the scripture, he says, you're the salt. And it doesn't matter where you are. I think this is such an, you know, I was asking God, is this really the right message for today? I mean, this doesn't really sound like a missionary message. But when I was watching the baptism, oh, I was just bawling. And when I'm watching people get commissioned to go out into dangerous places for Christians to be, you know, and I see people going out, you know, daily, talking to their neighbor, sharing with people, helping hurting people. It's because we're the salt. We're the salt of the earth. Just imagine what this world would be like if there wasn't God, the presence of God on this earth. I mean, I've talked to my kids about this in school when I'm teaching about the Constitution, the law. Imagine if there were no laws, there was no police, there was no one to protect us. Anybody could do whatever they wanted. That's what you are. You're the salt. Salt enhances the flavor of the earth. You make the earth a good place. You make it a safe place. You make it a peaceful place. You bring love. You bring joy. You bring forgiveness. You bring gentleness. You bring patience. You bring kindness. You have answers that the world needs to hear. And with the Holy Spirit inside you, every place you step, you bring heaven to earth. And because you have God in you, I mean, that's something we've grown up in. I mean, I believe all these things, you know, all my life, and yet I've had all kinds of things happen in my life. I'm one of those that feel like I'm stepping out of ashes, brokenness. God restored and used things that happened in my life, but he used them to build things in me. He built compassion, and he built love. He built perseverance, and we built a relationship so that I have no doubt. I have no doubt he's with me. I have no doubt of his ability. You know, salt also retards contamination. And before the refrigerator was invented, sailors used to salt meat, and they salt their vegetables and everything that they were taking with them, because it would, you know, things started corrupting as soon as you kill the animal, the meat's starting to rot. As soon as you chop the vegetable off, it's starting to rot. Corruption's there. Corruption's in the earth because of sin and what has happened. But we're retarding the contamination because we're bringing the good news to the earth. We're meant to retard the contamination of sin and to bring righteousness into the arena of life. Salt is a preservative. It keeps things. It keeps the earth from judgment. Our presence on the earth is what's keeping the earth from being destroyed. There is rampant sin. There is misery. There is greed. There's all kinds of things. But when God looks down on the earth, he looks at us and he sees the Holy Spirit in us. He sees our fragrance. We're like an incense that goes up to him. And so when we go to Costa Rica, we kind of have a new identity in our lives. We're growing every day, like I know you are. But I really appreciate the training that we have here at church, because that's what it's all about. I mean, our whole message and our whole emphasis in Costa Rica is, you know, bringing heaven to earth and letting it be on earth like it is in heaven, like God intended for it to be here. So our job really is to go as mother and father and be mentors to pastors, to be encouragers to believers, to elders in the church, to be a light to people that haven't even heard about God or haven't thought about God because it isn't even a thing in their country, like our friend from the Netherlands, and introduce them to a relationship, introduce them and challenge them to ask God who he is, to ask for an encounter with God. And like Hans, who was a manager of some apartments we stayed in a couple of years ago, we had really great conversations, and he goes, but I've never really talked to God. And I go, well, why don't you do it tonight? You know, I challenge you, just sit outside here by the pool when it's quiet and just say, God, I want to know you're real. You know, talk to me. I said, ask him your questions. I said, he'll answer. And he had a real encounter that night. He couldn't wait to tell me the next day. I mean, it was the first thing he wanted to talk about. And he fell off his chair. He was so hit with the power of God that came there by the pool. So we don't just minister to the Costa Ricans. We minister to expats and anybody who's walking, talking.
Breathing.
My mantra in life is, what would Jesus do? I think when I was in my 20s, I read a book, and that was the whole theme of it. What would Jesus do? And I want you to have that in your life, too, because you just don't know how wonderful it is to walk every day and to be anticipating and seeing people healed, seeing people delivered, seeing people restored, seeing people encouraged. This is what life is all about. I mean, be fully alive. Know what your calling is. You are salt. You are here to make a difference on the earth. We're never completely fulfilled until we reunite ourselves with Him. I want to thank you for partnering with us as we go to Costa Rica. We lead teams, and Jerry's going to talk more about what happened this last trip. And we will be going with another team in sometime in the next 12 months. They haven't decided exactly when they're going. But we went in one region, and we've touched one region out of, I think there are about 9 in Costa Rica. So we're going to be heading for another region because we feel like we're lighting fires. And these people are starting to see how God works and that each Christian should be doing these things. You know, we should be praying, expecting healing. We should be praying, expecting that people are going to respond to God. And so I just thank you because you are a part of this. When we go, you're sending us.
Thank you. Well, praise God. I tell you what, I'm like the racehorse that raring to go and can't go for raring. I want you to know something. We want you to know that we love you and we thank you for partnering with us. I want to speak to this young lady who's commissioned into the mission field. I want to tell you something. There's nothing greater than leaving and going to a foreign country and being somewhere where you can be used of God and knowing that while you're being used of God, someone back home is on their knees praying and beseeching God's power in your life. Who are we? We are Mission Costa Rica. In Mission Costa Rica, we're a mission evangelistic revival team, walking in the supernatural, ushering in the kingdom of God, casting dreams and vision, bringing forth salvation, healing, and deliverance. I must tell you something. I was praying this week. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? And I went back to my life's verse. Over 50 years ago, God gave me a verse in Isaiah chapter 41, verses 9, 10, and 13. He said, "Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and call thee from the chief of men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, and yea, I will help thee, and I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And in verse 13 he said, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, for I will help thee." I was watching a movie last night, 100 times probably been on the air, A League of Their Own, where ladies played baseball. And I'll never forget what that coach said. He says, "There's no crying in baseball." Well, there's no fear in going, amen? God said, "Fear not, and go." And I was reading this week in Isaiah chapter 6. God reached up and grabbed me. I mean, just grabbed my head and slapped it on the pages. You talk about spiritual impartation. And I looked at that and I said, I want to be who Isaiah is. 700 years before Jesus Christ was ever born, Isaiah got these words. And sanctified, I tell you what, imagination, if you will. But I want to put myself in his shoes when he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, each one having six wings. And twain he did cover his face. And twain he did cover his feet. And twain he did fly. I'm fixing to get happy, folks. This is exciting. Woo! And one cried unto the another. Can you imagine them flying around the throne of God crying, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. And the glory of God filled this earth. And he said, And I said, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You can all say amen to that. Mine eyes have seen the King. And then, I like this part, one of the seraphims flew off the and grabbed a coal from the tongs of the altar and laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, they have touched thy lips with... I've touched that. I thought about, man, I could just go preach with blistered lips. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. And I heard him say, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins are purged. That's what salvation is all about, folks. That's why we go. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then said I, send me. And he said in verse 9, go and tell. 700 years before Jesus Christ ever came to this earth, God said, go and tell. And that message has not changed today. It's still the same. We still have the same commission. We still have the same God. We still have the same proclamation. Go and tell. 1,400 times in the Word of God, the word go is gone, is there. And we as evangelism, we love to quote the verse that we find in Mark chapter 16 and verse 10, going to the world and preach the gospel. And we love to preach in Luke chapter 14 and verse 23 said, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. Who do you think he's talking to? Go! Did you realize? I just heard this week, preacher. I'm telling you, the first two-thirds of God's word is go. Amen? The first two letters of God's word is go. And in Romans 10:15, he said, and how can they go except they be sent? Our pastor talked this morning. This is a sending church. This is the church that produces those to go out. This is what it's all about, folks. You can't just have a church and it's we, you, me, mine, and ours, and we sit here and we love each other. Listen, this is a sending church, sending people to other parts of the earth to do what God had commissioned them to do. We are Mission Costa Rica. We've worked there for 4 years. First, there was one pastor. And then I began to meet with other pastors and leaders and elders. And then there were 10 and then 15. What's so exciting that she said we're going to another region. We have been asked to come back. And one pastor is over 27 churches in that region. And he's asked us to come and do what you're going to see in a minute, what we have done and what God has done, excuse me. What happened in Costa Rica? The video is going to show you that back in February, we took five pastors and five worship leaders from the Rio Grande Valley called PUSH. And all of a sudden, we began to meet. We had five meetings on Sunday, eight meetings in 3 days. And I mean, God took over like I've never experienced in 40 years of ministry. I mean, hundreds came. We had three and a half hour services. Hundreds came and got saved and got healed and got set free. That's what it's all about, folks. We met in a church. We met in a warehouse. My wife said it was a gymnasium. I couldn't tell the difference. And we met on a soccer field. And they came. And I want you to know, Man, when they go to worship down there, things get a little crazy. Amen. It's Holy Spirit crazy, but it's crazy and it's fun and it works, and thank God. I mean, we saw blind people with sight, get sight. Lady brought a little 10-year-old boy up to me and said, he's blind in one eye. And I said, really? Why me, God? I mean, you know, there's other people who can do this. Two nights before, a young man we've been praying for 4 years, he's our adopted son, our adopted Tico son, his name's Chino. Chino was there with me to doing some interpretation. I said, man, I just laid my hand on him, said, God, give him sight. And the little boy opened his eyes, and Chino said, he can see. And I said, thank God. Amen. Yeah. Woo! That was a miracle. We saw the lame walk. But then that same night there in Jesus Maria, we were on a soccer field. Pastor's wife, Cindy, brought her mother to me. Said, you got to pray over her. She has a growth on her back. I said, okay. And we began to pray. And the growth went away. And you've never heard anything like this in your life. I have never heard a woman shout and sing and speak in unknown tongues in Costa Rican language. It was goosebumps. I mean, the gospel goosebumps was all over me. I mean, it was unreal, folks. Things happen when God shows up. Amen? Things happen. You come to church expecting something to happen, God will show up and it will happen. And it did. And we had a tremendous time. But I want you to know, it couldn't be without your support. It couldn't be without your partnering with us and sending us out. Thank God for a pastor with a missions heart to send others into the field of service. Thank God that we commissioned this young lady this morning. And if I have any word I say to you, I say what they said in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 9. Fear not. Fear not. Go with the boldness and the holiness of God on you, and you be blessed, and you spend the rest of your life serving Him. Fear not. I want to have that video now, Mike, and you guys can see what happened and what God did because of you in Costa Rica.
There's a principle in the kingdom of celebration that unlocks more of what God's doing. You have to realize that God is the yes and amen God. It's not the, well, let me think about it thing. It's always a yes and amen. And whatever you celebrate, whatever you honor, actually opens up greater levels of influence into your life. And so one of the reasons we tell testimonies, we share stories like this, is so that it might inspire you to celebrate what God's doing in your own life. Like if you get so caught up into the negative things in life, the negative frustrations, all the junk in our world and stuff, what you're doing is you're actually celebrating the negative, which actually opens your heart more for the negative than being able to receive the goodness of God. But when we celebrate goodness, when we see God moving, when we see what He's doing in different regions and nations, it opens up Him to do that same thing here. And so what we're going to do is we're going to actually, as a part of honor, give a love offering to Jerry and Christy. One of the things that they are doing is every time they go on a trip, we support them as a church. But I want to invite you guys individually to partner with them specifically. And they've been looking at language school. I know Catherine just got done with language school down in Mexico, and it's launching there into. And so we want to receive a specific love offering that's going to help them go into language school and really commit into some immersion and things like that. So as they go in, because I know it's on the heart of both Jerry and Christy, not just to need interpreters to be able to share the gospel, but to be able to speak the language specifically to people and release that too. And so what I'm going to do is invite you, if you write a check directly to Legacy Church, and in the memo line specifically put, Costa Rica, we will make sure that we release those funds directly over to them. And I would encourage you, just like we've done with Catherine and with some of the others, that if it's on your heart to be a regular contributor to what God's doing, I encourage you. Like, God's going to move specific hearts to give to certain different groups and ministries. And when you go into Corinthians, you'll see Paul talking about this. There was a great need of what was happening in Jerusalem. And he went to the different churches that had been impacted by what had come the gospel out of Jerusalem, and they gave out of, not out towards need, but out of love. And from love and honor, it multiplied back into the regions. And in fact, if it'd be a longer teaching, but if you see, there was a famine that was going across the region. And what you'll realize is as they gave, the famine actually ended up stopping out because there's this heart of generosity where the kingdom responded, and it took something that was negative in the land and it superimposed the kingdom on top of it. And the lack, the famine, could not exist in the position where the kingdom of God had come. And it started with the sowing of generosity too. And so, Jerry and Christy, if y'all just stand up, we're going to pray over you guys specifically. And then what I'm going to ask is if you, before you leave, we have our offering boxes that are on the way out. And I would ask that you would specifically drop off that offering to them, and we'll make sure to them. I'm going to come down to you guys. And if y'all would extend a hand blessing, Kelly, why don't you go to come on over? In fact, yeah, why don't y'all stand up with me? We're going to give honor to the King of Kings and the Son of them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the life of Jerry and Christy, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for the yes of the question of go. And when you said go, they said yes. And Lord, I pray that you would increase, Lord, right now, their awareness of your love for them, Lord God. I pray that you would just take care of every single financial need they have, every single emotional need that they have, Lord, that in Jesus is the yes and amen. And Father, I declare right now, there is no lack, that everything you've put their heart to, everything you've put their hand to, it's going to succeed and it's going to prosper into a position of generosity beyond what was sown in, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, that you're taking care of that need, Lord. And we ask you right now, we beseech you, Lord, for the nation of Costa Rica, that all of Costa Rica may be saved, that there would not be one single region, one single city, one single part of that country that does not know and experience the goodness of God, that, Lord God, it would be such a light, that the nation of Costa Rica would be a light to all of Central and South America, to North America, and to the world, that people would be asking, what is happening? And they're going to discover the goodness of you. And so we just declare this right now in your mighty name, and all God's people said, amen, 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 amen. Give him praise. I just want to thank you guys. The way y'all worship, the way y'all supported the baptism, what we're going to do is our altar ministry team is going to be here on the side. If you have a prayer need for anything whatsoever, make sure you don't leave this place without somebody praying for you, and just have an incredible rest this afternoon. We love you guys. Remember, next Saturday is the ministry team refresher. You're invited to come, but have a great week. We love you guys.